This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Kevin Stefanski polishing one on the unacceptable loss yesterday and moving forward.
You're 14-14 going into the fourth quarter, and then we didn't finish in any phase, and that's very frustrating for me, for our players, for our coaches. But we got to learn from it, and then we got to move on because we got one Thursday night at our place, and that's where our focus is going to go.
So what you can't tell, because that was a little edited, you can actually hear where the cuts are. There were more space. He was like, he would say like, two sentences really quick, and then there'd be a pause, and there'd be another sentence. Like, Kevin was going through it yesterday, and you can't tell it because of how we've edited the audio, but I tend to believe that I think Kevin knows. I think Kevin knows right now somebody's getting gone at the end of this, and no matter what anyone has told him, that he is one of the most likely guys to get murked.
Okay, you almost went there. You almost crossed the finish line. I thought you were going to say he knows that he's the dead man walking.
No, because I think Kevin, I do think Kevin is trying to trust the people around him, but it doesn't matter. Listen, I know we try and make this a Browns thing. It doesn't matter. If you're 2-9 in the NFL, unless you are Tomlin, Harbaugh, or Andy Reid,
yeah,
you feel the ground shift beneath you. Have you ever almost been fired, whether you've been fired or not? Have you been fired?
In Wichita, I got fired three times to then turn around and have him give me my job back the moment I actually checked my email to get fired.
Oh.
Like, he fired me. He fired me on a Saturday, and then three times. Saturday, and then by the time I came in on Monday, I read the email that said I was fired, but I was already there, and I went to his office and was like, hey, man, did you mean to fire me? I just got the email. And he was like, no, I take it back. That's not what happened. Three times that happened.
Wow. I mean, seems like a very stable individual.
And by the way, did not see it coming either time.
Yeah.
What's interesting is,
anytime I've come close to getting fired,
you knew it was going
to
happen.
I felt like,
I feel like most people feel
I've
that
been
way,
waiting
right?
for it.
Yeah, you're
right?
like you hear the whispers, or even if you don't hear the whispers, you can sense a vibe around people.
And here's the other thing, you know, when other people are grouping up to talk about things and you're not in it. Like, you just have to pay attention. So I would imagine.
Is that why we constantly group up together and then talk about people? And then when they come in the room, make it awkward?
No, it's because we're catty bees. That's
okay.
Why.
All right, I want to establish that.
But I what's interesting about where this is there's still a segment of people who don't understand how bad 2-9 is. And I saw it this weekend. Listen, mm-hmm. I'm still not to the point where I'm going to call for Stefanski to be fired. I'm annoyed. I'm more annoyed that Kevin doesn't get held to any standard here. It's just all platitudes or things that probably don't matter. But he had two winning seasons. Guys, it's five seasons. This isn't just a lost season. But what's interesting about that is there was a sense here. And actually, I'm going to credit him because Pete Smith was driving the bandwagon on social media this weekend. And I saw a lot of people agreeing with this line of thinking, which was, it doesn't matter how bad this season is. It's you either made the playoffs or you didn't, which is not something you say when you lose that game the way you lost it. And all of a sudden, 2-9, 2-15 feels inevitable. There has to be something. in between, in terms of nuance and analysis of where you are as an organization, there has to be something between 8 and 9 or 7 and 10, the previous lows of the Stefanski era, and 2 and 15. Those, it is easy to go from 9 and 8
mm-hmm.
and 7 and 10. What, like, very thin margin between those two records.
Yeah.
There is a gulf between 7 and 10 and 2 and 15.
Yeah, if you go 9 and 8, and then all of a sudden you want to talk about the difference between 9 and 8 and then 7 and 10 is what you just said. You can talk about a couple games where maybe there's a play here and there. Bears come to mind, for instance, right? This past weekend, they had the blocked field goal kick, and the record's going to be a little bit different because they had the blocked field goal kick and they lose that game, a game that typically you would win. Chiefs just had that last week, right? Chiefs had the blocked field goal kick, same type of story. You're like, they didn't win that game, but it's a game they put themselves in position to win. Ball didn't go the right way. Something didn't happen the right way. There's all sorts of stuff that happens like that in the NFL. When you're 2 and 15, Nick, you're not even close.
Do you agree?
You're not even close.
Because this is where we are. Usually most years with this regime, it's been, if you want to fire Kevin Stefanski, you're going to have to make a salient argument. I think it's the other way around now.
Where Stefanski's got to make the argument?
Well, no, I think if you want them back, you're going to have to give me something other than 2 and 15, or sorry, something other than two-time coach of the year. You have to give me something other than he's a good offensive coordinator. Guys, that's the lowest bar in the world. I want my head coach to be a great head coach. And this idea of...
That's all you can go back on, though, Nick. Like, that's it. Like, if I was trying to make the case, if I am defending him like I'm a jury and I'm sitting there trying to fight for his job, I'm talking about his play calling, I'm talking about what he does with an offense, but it just completely forgets every other component of the team that he doesn't do well in.
Well, and here's the thing.
He doesn't. I like him. You know that, but he doesn't do well
in
it.
I'm willing to listen. Sell me. Sell me he's a great leader.
Sell me this pen.
Diana,
you can't do it.
Diana Rossini, you gotta create some sort of need. Kevin Stefanski created this pen. I don't know. But Diana Rossini on the Scoop City podcast last week was like, I can't tell you Kevin's safe, but he's a great leader. Here's another one. Guys, he'll have another job tomorrow is not a defense of Kevin Stefanski. All right? That's not. You're just trying to turn the Browns or a bozo organization into that's why you can't fire Kevin. Do I definitively know that Ken will go elsewhere and he'll be a failure? No, that's, we're not saying Kevin isn't a good head coach. We're saying he's not a great head coach. And 5 years in the NFL, if you don't have quantitative proof, like, if you don't have absolute evidence beyond some fictional thing that people vote on that is critical to narratives and can fall to, well, who else is going to do it? Here, by the way, do you know why Kevin's got 2 Coach of the Years? Because he's done it in Cleveland. Because that's how low
that
everybody thinks of this organization. But let's stop there. Because if I'm going to give into the idea that 2020 is the best moment you had, let's talk about the last 4 years. You've gone 8 and 9, you've gone 7 and 10, you've gone 11 and 5 or 11 and 6, and you've gone now 2 and 9, potentially 2 and 15. That's 4 years, 75% of it. The best thing I can say is you missed the mark. But now this is the worst year in year 5.
Yeah.
The best year you had were with John Dorsey players. The best year you had was the first year. If
right.
The farther you get away from that, you're getting more losing seasons and winning seasons. Again, you have to come with something better than two-time coach of the year or,
I don't think he has it. That's the problem. I don't think he has it.
I don't think the
biggest excuse you can come up with, we talk about the play calling, and then you'd also say, oh, what about Deshaun Watson? Listen, Jameis Winston he's done fine for you in 2 out of the 3 weeks. Like, it's fine. And I'm sure Stefanski could get a lot of quarterbacks to look fine. It's more than just the offense for me right now, Nick. I've defended Stefanski for a very long time. The defense is getting worse. They're going backwards. The special teams has never looked worse. Like, there are so many areas he trusted all these other people, Jim Schwartz being one of them, where you're like, all right, hired another head coach, worry about the defensive side of the ball. He can take care of it, and it's fine, but it's not working.
I think the thing, because I want to get to this. I don't think players play for Kevin with a burning passion.
I agree with that.
And I think, look at what's happening in Detroit.
I agree with that.
And I'm, of course, pointing to a guy in town who's in the organization who I think has similar kneecap-biting abilities. I'm sorry. The obvious guy is right there in Mike Vrabel, but I digress on this one because I want to get back to the point. I think half of why guys like to play for Kevin, not need to play for him, not go overboard. I think half the reason is he doesn't call him out. It's Camp Cupcake.
Yeah.
Guys, if I gave you $25 million a year and then held you to laughably low standards, you never got smacked on the wrist, you never got called out for it. It was a player culture, right? The players. It's on the players to do this.
You talk about Cam Cupcake. I had an NFL player tell me when he went to the Browns preseason, whatever that was in Berea, he was like, it's Club Med.
So, of course you'd like to play for Kevin. So, leadership is the number. We've gotten into this in 2024. We conflate the guys who, like Pat Riley, who would bench you, if you're Alonzo Mourning and you take a playoff, you're not going to be in the starting lineup for five games. Those guys don't exist anymore. But there is a kind of accountability that's out there that isn't stark raving mad and throwing guys under the bus in the media. And you can see it when you watch teams play. So, like, I just...
Yeah, well, and that's why it's funny. We made a joke about it, but earlier in the show, you're like, oh, like you were talking about the Rizzler or something like that. And I'm like, I liked him. Yeah. I thought he was great. But a couple things and why I liked him was you saw the big body chest moment he had with another one of his players and little things like that. You could tell that team was buying into whatever the hell he was selling. He might seem like a lunatic, but like he was coming out off the sidelines and they're chest bumping and they're like, it's a 14-14 game and they're getting amped up. He's living and dying with these field goals. Like, hey, people can tell that type of stuff. With Stefanski, he's just sitting there looking at his Waffle House menu away from everyone. I told you how many games I've been on the sidelines or been in the ballpark, and Stefanski's 30 yards away from anyone else on the team.
Yeah,
like, and there's so much of that that just doesn't exist elsewhere.
Well, and listen, I think if I want to give him credit as a CEO head coach, some of those penalties have been cleaned up, right? I think they had three penalties yesterday. All right, the problem is you're still collapsing. You're still falling apart. Like, a part of a CEO coach is that fourth quarter doesn't go the way it goes. You don't give up three monstrous plays while your offense is what? Punt, turnover on downs, and another punt.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, there's just so many things that don't add up with this team. And so for people to try and put this as, well, every team has... No, very few teams who have gone 11-5, 8-9, 7-10, 11-6, then go 2-15. This is more than just... I know we just want to make it simple because you like Kevin. Guys, I like Kevin. I like the person. I'm annoyed by him professionally occasionally. But this is a massive, massive crap bowl toilet. That this is not an accident. This has happened. It has all been leading here.
No, but you asked why fans essentially just give him a little bit of a pass and or only hold him to the offensive side of the ball. And think about the structure that he's put out there. Are we talking about like the defense? Everyone knows who to blame. Everyone goes, oh, that's Jim Schwartz's problem, and no one ever puts it on Stefanski because Stefanski has somehow found a way, and this doesn't work anywhere else either. He's found a way where it's like whatever happens offensively is at the feet of him, and then everywhere else we just assign to these position coaches and say that's on them, and then you fall back and you're like, all right, well, what about the offense? And then enough people are like, well, he's good when it's not Deshaun. And you can see how it constantly, just never-ending cycle of making up excuses for
him. And now it's Ken Dorsey's fault. Right? Well, Ken Dorsey's offense sucks. By the way, do you know why I probably fought so hard on Jameis and whether it was a good performance or great performance? Because that's the Stefanski offense. You score 14 points, but you put up 500 yards, and everybody goes, whoa, look at the yards here.
That's why I said it was a perfect Kevin Stefanski game.
216-474-0092. I do want to throw this out, because I was thinking about how disappointing this season is and how to paint where we are at 2-9, maybe staring down 2-15. This is the most disappointing Brown season since. Finish that. I've got three options. I think JP has one I'm not going to see coming. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. It's not like by Thursday night they're going to be 2-9. No. There's still a chance they could go to 3-8, which would be wildly different.
It was very big of you to admit your mistake today.
Listen, unlike Kevin Stefanski's Browns, I'll actually tell you that I messed up, how I messed up, and how I won't repeat it again. Until Thursday night, Friday morning, when they are 2-9.
And then we just got to be better.
And then basically I'm vindicated. So that guy in Cleveland finished the sentence for me,
okay,
which was, this is the most disappointing Brown season since, he said, since the Johnny Manziel season. It depends which Johnny Manziel season you're talking about, sir. I think he's talking about 2015, because that was one of my three choices. Because 2014, you went 7-9. You started, I think, 7-4. Ownership forced them to go to Johnny Manziel. The first of many warning signs from these cats, and Johnny was not ready. It killed the vibe of the season, and they finished 7-9. Alex Mack getting hurt was also a crucial, crucial blow. I actually don't think they went to Johnny until, I want to say, 3 or 4 games left, but the Alex Mack thing happened 11 games in. That was the death blow. But yeah, I mean, when they came out in 2015, there were still some good football players. You believed in Mike Pettine. You thought, okay, if Johnny can just be anything, you can get to 500 again, maybe better. And they end up getting, I think, the number 2 pick in that next draft. Because that was the Carson Wentz draft where you traded out.
Yeah.
And then traded Tennessee and then traded down to 15. You drafted Corey Coleman. So I do think 2015 was one of the most disappointing seasons because people believed in Pettine at the very least.
So is that your answer, 2015?
It's one of my three answers. I have three answers.
Three answers.
Yeah, because okay. They all have a similar theme, which is you win the season thinking this team has a chance to do something they haven't done, which is follow up off a playoff or successful season. 2008 with Romeo.
Okay.
Where you thought you found your quarterback in Derek Anderson.
Yeah.
Your offensive line finally started playing well for the first time since the organization came back. You found guys like Sean Rogers. Your defense had, I think Lee Bodden was still on the roster at that point, although I might be wrong on that. But you had a fair amount. Oh, Braylon Edwards looked like a number one receiver. And then injuries happened. They ended up getting the 5th pick in the next draft. Romeo and Phil were fired. The only other one I thought of.
Yeah.
Now I have to go back to it. I said 2015.
2008.
And this one. All right, so this is the third one.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, I got 2019.
Okay.
2019 for me was big. It was after, you're done with Hugh. Hugh's gone. You went in, Greg Williams, fill in and do everything attached to that. And then the season after, you just entered with Freddie Kitchens. And I think everyone kind of knew in the back of their mind. I mean, I was calling him Alabama Jim Tom Sula for way too long for me to be like, this is a serious guy we need to take serious. But the way it all just imploded, and you still had Baker out there, and Baker was playing good football, but the offense wasn't able to score. The defense was absolute trash. The way that season melted down, and then Freddie wearing the Pittsburgh started at T-shirts and all this other nonsense. A head coach of a football team going out to the movies wearing shirts where he's mocking Pittsburgh. Like, it was a lot. Man, that was an up-and-down season.
Yeah, if Freddie had gone 10-7, we would have eaten that Pittsburgh started out of the
ball
of his hand.
We would have loved it.
Okay, how about one more? 2021.
Yeah, that one belongs on there, too.
Yeah, but to me, those are the four seasons. Like, listen, maybe you can do 05 because in 04, or sorry, maybe you can do 04 because in 03 you were in the playoffs. Sorry. 02 you were in the playoffs, and then 03 it started to fall apart for Butch Davis. Maybe you can do that.
I mean, but 2021 was interesting because you are obviously 5 minutes away from the AFC title game. You are a Chad Henne first down away from the AFC title game. And you think that's just the beginning of an awesome run with Stefanski and everybody else. And it just went downhill.
But I think this all gets back to...
Thanks, Joe Woods.
I think that's the moment where we should be judging Kevin Stefanski on. Not what he came into. Because while he came into in the ashes of Freddie Kitchens, you just needed to show up and not be a first-rate ass clown, which is unfortunately what Freddie was, respectfully, of course. Allegedly.
You know, there's an element of Stefanski that I feel like is not being brought up, and I'm curious if people will eventually bring it up in any sort of aspect.
What's that?
The fact that his playoff win, all that was during COVID.
Yeah.
Like, there was obvious stability there, but there wasn't the relationship that you typically would have with a coach across the board, and so any sort of like, hey, he doesn't get along with the players, or maybe the players don't vouch or go for him or whatever. That was happening everywhere. So it almost got neutralized because Kevin isn't inherently great at that.
So I think that's fair. Here's one other thing. Kevin walked into a more talented roster than any head coach outside of Freddie Kitchens since ever. I mean, think about it. Like, Butch walked into a team that had gotten the number one pick two straight years, right? Romeo walked into a team that they tore down to the studs. Eric Mangini walked into a team that had been disappointed the year before, tore it down to the studs. Shermer, I mean, they had just started kind of piecing that thing together. Chudzinski and Pettine, maybe in like just one cut below. But again, neither of them had a quarterback answered.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, that's the thing that I think people miss. I'm not saying he was born on third base. He's not Ryan Day. He was born on a base. He was born on first base.
It was at least first.
Yeah, at least first base, which is not something I can say of any other Browns head coach since 99. Daryl Ryder will answer that question. This is the most disappointing Browns season since... We'll finish that sentence next on 92.3 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.